I want to give a real word today. I want to prophetically speak to the church. I believe that that there's a word today that's going to be not just life-giving and life-changing, but it's going to be confirmation, I believe, to what God is already speaking in your hearts and your spirits. I want to talk about, if I put a title on my message today, it's called Even Though. Say Even Though. And Even Though is a great study in the Bible. Amen. We see that even though Jesus had to go to the cross, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. What a concept, yeah? Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we will not bow, and our God will save us. But even though, amen, we're still not going to bow. There's an even though message today. And I'm going to talk about the life a little bit, the little life of Jehoiakim, also known as Jeconiah, also known as Jehoiachin. And I like Jehoiachin because it shows that he is from, you know, he is Chinese also. He's from the Qin dynasty and Jehoiachin. And so, please, someone laughs. Please. You know, but you know what people call? See, we do this stuff in Hawaii, man. They're going to kick me. Maybe I won't come back next year. All right. And so, but did you know that he was called the despised king? By God. How's this? Let me just share. I'm going to jump right into some meat here. Jeremiah 22, it says, as I live, declares the Lord, even though Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, son of Judah, were a signet ring on my right hand, yet I will pull you off my finger. That's like the biggest nightmare, yeah? To be in a relationship and your wife goes, how's that? It's over. It's over. How's that worse to throw it in the ocean? This is God talking. He said, I'm going to take no more marriage here. And he said, even though he was a signet ring on my right hand, yet I will pull you off and give you over to the hand of those who are seeking your life. Yes, into the hands of those you dread. Even the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, the hand of Chaldeans, I will hurl you and your mother who bore you. How's that? How's that from Bible trash talk, yeah? You and your mother that bore you. And so he goes like this, but as for the land to which they desire to return, they will not return to it. Is this man, Coniah, a despised, shattered jar? Or is he an undesirable vessel? Why have he and his descendants been hurled out and cast into the land that they have not known? O land, land, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. Write this down, as childless or childless. A man who will not prosper in these days. For no man of his descendants will prosper sitting on the throne of David or ruling against again in Judah. Despised by God. This king was promised to have no descendants. Out of all the kings, God chose to do something cool that we're about to read. He chose this king. How are we doing? You guys getting this? This is going to have a happy ending. Amen? But we got to start with a black drop, yeah? A backdrop, a black backdrop, we call it a black drop. Amen? Everything was so bad, yet God found favor. Amen? Look at this. Out of all the kings, he chooses one that was really disliked by God. He does this on purpose because if God could show mercy on Jehoiachin, Coniah, then he could certainly show mercy on Israel. And if he did that, then he can surely show mercy on you, on me. Amen? I just love what everything that Pastor Daniel was saying. You know, I was just like eating it up. I like that term you use, like something like soul rest or something. What'd you say? You said something for your soul. And I was like, I don't know. That was cool. I was like, I should have read it. Usually I have my phone out so I can give this up. But anyways, I like that. Soul candy. I'm going to bring some soul food this morning. Amen? Okay, here's what happened. 2 Kings 25. Here's the story. In the 37th year of exile, Jehoiakim, king of Judah, in the year of Al-Marduk, became king of Babylon. So in the 37th year, check this out. He released Jehoiakim, king of Judah, from prison. And he did this on the 27th day of the 12th month. He spoke kindly to him and gave him a seat of honor higher than those other kings that were with him in Babylon. So Jehoiakim put aside his prison clothes and for the rest of his life ate regularly at the king's table. Day by day, the king gave Jehoiakim a regular allowance as long as he lived. How are we doing? Food and money. I'm loving this word, man. I think the Spirit of the Lord is here. What do you guys think? Who's ready for a fresh word from the Lord? You know, for this year, a fresh direction, a fresh encouragement, you know? I mean, I'm even liking this word to the word that came through Haggai when we had the restoration prophets of Ezra, Nehemiah, Haggai, and Zechariah. And Haggai, after a 10-year break, after a 10-year break on building project, the word of the Lord came through the prophet and got into the spirit and to the soul of the people, and they finished the job in a couple of months. And the word was, "I am with you." You know, stop using your reference is all messed up. You're focusing on all these other things instead of the house of God. Amen. All this virtual stuff you're doing at home, he said, man, get back to church. Get back to the project. There's a project going on. There's an assignment that I gave. You know, I had this plan in eternity. Eternity past for you to do. And so it's interesting that I'm going to talk about four things that happened in Jehoiakim's life that we can grab a hold of. I love this thing, even though. Jehoiakim was released from prison. How's that? Here he is. Notice this is the 37th year of exile. That means he was in prison for 37 years. That's a lifer. Where we come, we deal with a lot of guys coming out of jail. We had a guy in our... We've had guys close to 27 years, and that's lifers. We had this one guy who went in as 18. He did like 19 years, and he came with us. It was tough. It was almost unbearable to deal with him because he was so, you know, institutionalized, call it. Just, it was tough. It's really tough. And so when we deal with a lot of guys that are, and we do it the same thing, yeah? Whether it's a locked up in prison of guards or San Quentin or their own address or their own mind or their own sins or their own past or their own trauma. And we see prisons everywhere. But it's interesting that when we see Jehoiakim was in prison for 37 years. He was taken captive when he was 18. Now he's 55. See, he spent most of his life in his prime years in a Babylonian prison. You guys understand? I have a feeling that he could have probably thought that he was going to die in prison. What do you guys think? He was in prison. Prison life is a trip. It's so funny. I have so many guys. I had one guy, and I think you know, guys know George. And one time, George got out of jail, and he's like this. He's telling me.
Pastor Greg, man, you gotta, I'm gonna cook you something. I'm gonna make you ice cream out of ramen. I wanna make ramen. And he goes, nope, I don't want it. He goes, No, you gotta try it. It's so good. He says, no. And then I go, nope, I'm not gonna do it. He says, why not? He's getting offended. He learned this in jail. And I already know it's jail food, jail, Bobby Flay. And so he goes like this. He goes, he's getting offended. And I go, he goes, why won't you eat my ice cream? And he says, because when I want to eat ice cream, I go to the store and I pick up some Ben and Jerry's Cherry Garcia. And I'm going to eat it slow, the whole pint. I'm going to eat the whole thing. You know why? Because I'm not in prison. How are we doing, guys? And how many know I could preach on that point right now? Yes? I'm ready to go there. I'm ready to pick that apart. But you pick that apart on your own. Because there's a lot of things people do. How are we doing? People get out, and I'm going to talk about that a little bit. I don't want to jump stuff. I was going to jump right into prison clothes. All right, here we go. He was a criminal in the eyes of everybody else. Yeah, we understand that it was captivity that was brought up, but it was brought about the sins and the unbelief and the disobedience of Israel. And God lifted his hands of protection on them, and they came and got him. Amen? He was a refugee. He was under the wrath. He was despised. And it must have appeared to him that all chance of being released was gone. I'm not going to get released. But then something happened. In that 37th year of captivity, he was released by a new king. And it's interesting that we see a lot of king transitions, yeah, or pharaoh transitions where they didn't know the old guy. And this is the same thing that happened, but Nebuchadnezzar is the one who locked them up. And I think Nebuchadnezzar threw away the key. Yeah, I think he sent him to life. You're going to die in jail. But then the new king came, and he was just as evil. But guess what? He had a new buddy. You got a friend in me. Look what happened. Jehoiakim was in the king's good grace. See, now it's one thing to be released from jail and to go wherever you please, but it appears that evil Merodach went the extra mile with Jehoiakim. He became his friend. He became his fan. He supported him, and he exalted him above all the other kings that were in the kingdom. He spoke kindly to him and set his throne above the throne of the kings. I don't know. I don't know if how much. I haven't studied that much. I don't know what that meant. But maybe he just threw him a bone. But it's the scriptures say, he said he set his throne above the other thrones of the kings in Babylon. So he bestowed on him this title. And so it must have been, you know, it must have been awesome. I mean, too awesome to go from prison to favor. See, one of the things that I do is when guys come out of prison, one of my biggest goals is to restore dignity. I've thrown my keys in my car. I wasn't doing that before until I saw somebody do it, another ministry. So I go, because I'm not giving my car. But now I go, here. In my car, move my truck around here. And so, can you go pick up that? You got your license? He goes, no. Why don't you just pull it around back, and then I'll let you drive it. You know, drive my truck at the farm. And then like this, going. You can tell their faces, like it's messing everything up. I said, what's going to happen is there's going to be kids that are going to jump on your lap and call you uncle. I just got out of prison. Can you give me a car? How are we doing? There's something going on here. And how many know that God is doing something? The Church of God is going to be successful this year. Do you know that? And success doesn't come through time. It comes through change. How are we doing? Who's got that? So who already knows what I'm talking about? God's already speaking to you. He's already speaking to you about some change. God gave me this word when I was in the hospital. And he gave me Hosea 14. And Hosea 14, where it says, come, let us return to the Lord. Your sins are your downfall. Take words with you and return to the Lord. And God gave me a nice little frame. He framed that repentance word up for me. Guess what he called it? Well, he gave me a word. I learned a song from, I wrote a song right from the Hawaiian Bible, and it was, return to the Lord, your sins are your downfall. But then another song just kept going in, and even with all these wires and stuff on me, I had my ukulele, and I started singing it with my roommate that's now in heaven. And I started singing. I didn't know all the words, but it was, time for cool change. I know that it's time for a cool change. How's that? Little River Band. And I didn't know the song. I didn't know the verses until I got home into my own bed and I pulled it up on a computer and I looked at it. And guess what the word said? The beginning, first line. There's one thing in my life that's missing. It's the time that I spend alone. You guys know, my three biggest fears were coming true at the same time. My biggest fears, just being honest, number one was being left alone. Not being alone, but being left alone. My second fear was, and they're all just as much, as suffocation. I have an ongoing nightmare of suffocation. And my other fear is public failure. And I got all three of them, one crack, in the hospital. And then God gave me this song. There's one thing in my life that's missing. But he got me alone. How are we doing? You know, I like this. Even though he was in prison, God gave him good grace. Everybody say good grace. Good grace from a good God. What a picture, yeah? Of good grace. Friendship. It was a new friendship. You got a friend in me, right? I don't call you slaves, I call you friends. And so look at this. Number three, Jehoiakim changed his prison clothes. How's this? And Jehoiakim had regular provision from the king. I love what this verse says. It says that Jehoiakim changed, or another version says he put aside his prison clothes. How many know this is a message in itself? How many know that the children of Israel were what? Freed from slavery, from Egypt. But many of them still walked, talked, smelled like Egyptians. Who knows what I'm talking about? You know, we used to pick on all the guys that's like on the bars, and I said, God's going to spoil, you know, if anybody's in recovery, he's going to spoil your drug use. He's going to kill your buzz. He's going to make you stand out. You got the light of God in you. You're going to go to a bar, and everybody's going to know that you're a believer, that you don't belong here. I love praying that. Amen. He's a buzzkill. Guys in a program, sometimes they sneak out and they get drunk and they come back and I said, how was it? They go, it was terrible. Right on. Praise the Lord. Amen. We shouldn't be able, you're the light of the world. You shouldn't be able to hide. How are we doing? And so when we go, you know, look at this, to change your clothes. That I'm not identified as a inmate anymore, a convict. You know, I got the white righteous robes of the redeemed. Amen. Look at all the verses in the Bible that talks about in Revelation that those are the ones of the redeemed with the robes. How are we doing? Remember that? I remember when Pastor you shared the verse in with Joshua the high priest in Zechariah 3. And it was, that's been one of my key verses because I lived there. Here I am in the Holy of Holies. I'm approaching God and there's Satan at my right. What is Satan doing at the right hand of God? Or right hand, you know what I mean? What's he doing in the Holy of Holies? He's doing what he does. He's accusing him. And then God stepped in and says, the Lord rebukes you, right? I love that verse. And it says this to the guy standing by. He says, go take off his filthy garments. And you guys know that was after his own efforts, some severe efforts of what? Being cleansed. It was kind of a virtual temple too, wasn't it? Anyways, we'll talk about that later. It was Ezekiel's temple. But it was God. It was God speaking to us. Amen? How are we doing? And here he is. Zechariah. In Zechariah, Joshua the high priest, he took off his clothes and he said, see, I've removed your sin. What a picture. And then he said, give him a clean turban. Give some clear mind. Amen? What, it reminds me of the blood of Jesus sprinkled to cleanse us of a what? Guilty conscience. Some people might think this is insignificant. Living Wing Church, what do you guys think? This is anything but insignificant. Look at all the things. Look at all the pictures. Look at this in Psalms 96. Verse 9, worship the Lord in holy attire. Tremble before him, all the earth. Yeah, Isaiah 1:18, come let us reason together. Amen? Even though your sins are like scarlet, they'll be white as snow. I'm going to clothe you. Amen? Garments are a representative of character. Garments are a representative of covering. Look at men's. And how many know there's a difference between being covered and cover up? Yeah? How many know? Criminals cover up. We're all criminals. Amen? Without Jesus, we're all criminals. And we do that. We try to cover up. Oh, cover up, cover up. But God covers. Amen? Who told you? How's this? Oh, I was in the garden. I was naked and I was afraid. And so I hid. Who told you he was naked? You guys understand? Clothing is huge, you know? And it was more than just cleaning up. It was a new identity. It was a new character. It was a new calling. It was a new walk. It was a new life. To take your prison clothes and put it aside. Set aside my prison clothes. It was he had a change in status. Jehoiakim had a change. He was no longer a fugitive, but he was a friend. He went from a fugitive to friend. He's been forgiven. What a picture of forgiveness. Amen? It's like, yeah, Isaiah. The angel, the flying angel with tongues, put some coals on his lip and said, hey, see, you've been forgiven. Got a new life. Now who's going to go? Yeah. Everybody say fresh forgiveness. Okay, good. I'm thinking you're getting this in the spirit because there's so many things that I can't share right now. But ready for this? Once we get just as confident that someone's going to catch the gospel from you, then you are as someone's going to give you COVID. Are you got to be kidding me? There's enough Spanish people in this room, yes, to catch what I'm about to say. Amen? Don't worry about a pandemic. Worry about a pandemic. Right here. Pan de Dios. For those of you who don't understand, you guys know, right? Pan means bread. Hallelujah. Come on. If it's not COVID, it's going to be something else. Why don't we make it the gospel? Put some gospels on you. Put some gospel mask on you. You know what I mean? How we doing? You know? Only time I seen mask in the Bible is the veil. And if anyone returns Christ, the veil is lifted. Amen? The other time I see it in the Bible is what? When you got leprosy, you got to cover the lower part of your face. Social distancing. Unclean, unclean. And I used to be unclean, but I'm clean now. Amen? I've been clean. How we doing, guys? I got new clothes. People, and some of you are probably going, come on! Fly, be free. Because if the sun sets you free, you're free indeed. Amen? Come on, let's have fun with the verses. Amen? And live them. Like he said, real. It's real. It's the realest thing I've ever had. If I didn't have the Word of God and a Savior to worship when I was in the hospital, I wouldn't be here today. Amen? Number four, Jehoiakim had regular provision from the king. Come on, someone say regular. And when you get in your 50s, you worry about being regular. And so, you know, this is more than a favor. Check this out, guys. And how many know who still has that thing? I mean, praise the Lord for miracles. But I'm so glad I have a Pastor Doug Balcom as my pastor, my papa. Because he told me when you start this church, he said, when you start this church, if you're gonna get down into a Holy Ghost ministry, then you better keep it. Because if you're moving in the Holy Ghost in miracles, then you're going to have to keep doing that. To get people in, you're going to have to do miracles to keep them in. Remember that? And you're telling me all those things. I'm just like, just do what you do. And if you've decided to steadily preach the Word of God and to steadily love people and accept people, then that's your calling. Just go, keep driving a bus. How are we doing? But I still have that thing, you know, I mean, I like miracles and, you know, supernatural. And then I think, oh, and then I feel like a failure because I didn't share something supernatural that happened to me. I should have shared it to everybody. And I was like, that's part of it. But don't you think there's another something just as most important as God's providence of that breath for today? How's this for blinking? Praise God for blinking. Do you know what blinking is? I found out. Blinking is taking out the rubbish. Because you know when you go at night, you stay at night and you don't blink, you got a whole bunch of rubbish, but you have those little things. We call them makapiapia. And makapiapia is just little things. They call it sleep. Or what else? Eye boogers, we call them. And then what do you do? In the morning, you go, take out the trash. Can you imagine if all that stuff is still in your eyes? You guys understand? Or sweat, or everything that leaves your body when you go to shishi a doodoo, or sweat, or cry. Could you imagine if all still in your body? And God has all these things. Praise God for that. That's a miracle. It's a miracle creation that we have. And praise God for every day, you know? How are we doing? Every day, for real. I know this is sounds repetitious, but there's a newness, hello, that we're not dead. We're alive for a reason, yeah? And so here's this thing. He had regular provision from God. Amen? That you're going to be provided for, Pastor. Your church is, you know what I mean? I was going to all these pastors' meetings, and I know you are too, and meeting with all these pastors, and I was with a bunch of pastors that were very scared, that were saying, I can't wait till this is over, man. We're taking such hits, and we didn't experience that. Because we were focused on, I don't know. We just focus on giving. Just keep giving. That's what we do. The living way, the giving way. Giving way Maui. Giving way Poway. Amen? When you start giving, you start dying. Right? When you stop giving, you start dying. For God so loved the world that he gave. You understand? There's regular provision. even though you were in prison, even though you were despised by God, even though you had no relationship, he may not even know the king's name, but the king knew his name. I mean, enemy king, man in prison, released and treated like a son. There's a word here. You know, both of them, it was interesting. I was I'm just going to throw this out there. A lot of times culturally too, you know, we've all heard that pride is a bad thing. And then there was a word, the word for pride in Hawaiian is ha'aheo. And ha'aheo doesn't mean arrogance or haughtiness. It means a self-worth of who made you and what lives inside of you. How's that? And if we take that language away, that very, very important for especially Native people to hear that word meant something. That it's I'm not arrogant, but I'm confident that I have the God living in me. I mean, and that God who began a good work is going to be faithful to complete it. I'm confident of that very thing, that I've ingested the very DNA of God. His benefits, all the days of his life. His benefits. I just recently got veterans benefits. How's that? Praise the Lord. And they paid for my hospital. Praise the Lord. You know, if I didn't have that, you know, because I have moved on. I'm full-time at the church. I mean, kind of have been for a while. And so if you guys didn't know that, so I was bivocational for a long time. And now I'm pretty much 100% at the church. And so, and here we go. He didn't lose his benefits. He didn't lose his provision or status. He did nothing to deserve it. And he ate at the not food stamps, but the king's table. How's this? Someone, come on, guys. The best. I'm going to say the best. The best. Who needs to hear this word today? Because you know what? Pretty much everybody outside of this room is going to tell you different. You know that, right? The whole air that we're breathing is different air now. But to breathe this air of the God's word, amen? The atmosphere of heaven that says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I am positive that mercy, goodness and mercy will follow me. There's no doubt in my mind. Amen? Oh, it'll never work. Wowsy, wowsy, woo, woo. You know, man, come on, let's shake that off. It's everywhere. I got a violent thing. It's almost, I mean, I think it's more real. You know, the kingdom of God suffers violence. The violent take it by force. And that stuff is just violently clinging on to me, man. I got to go, so get that stuff off of me. Amen? Maybe some people look at him and say, oh, he's a lucky guy. Yeah? He's such a lucky guy. Jehoiakim, he's such a lucky guy. He got released from prison and, you know, he said, he's so lucky. Man, that was design, guys. It was provision. It's the same provision. And it was a prophetic picture to Israel, what God was going to do to Israel. Amen? How are we doing? And if he could do it to Jehoiakim, who was despised by God, he could do it to the nation. And if he could do it to the nation, he can do it in us and through us. Amen? He was a despised king. Israel was a despised nation, and he was in prison. Israel went to bondage, and Israel was in captivity, and he was clothed in filthy rags, and Israel was covered in iniquity. He had no worth, and neither did Israel. Yet, this evil king, Merodach, he did what he did for Jehoiakim. He's going to do for us. Amen? He's going to set us free, man. He's going to show us favor, even though the world tells us different, even though our past tells us different, even though my guilt, my shame, I got a lot of reference of failure. I got a lot of reference of doubt. Who knows what I'm talking about? But that goes against the, you know, Israel had done nothing to ever expect or deserve what God was about to do in this thing called grace. Here we go. Psalms 103. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in love. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens is above the earth, so great is his loving kindness for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he himself knows our frame. He's mindful that we are. How's that? We used to joke at Bible college. We are butt dust. Either way, yeah? Either way. Either butt dust or butt dust. And you guys, the prophetic point this morning is, even though everybody else is swimming upstream or swimming around the other direction, and regardless of how unfaithful we have been, because that's what it's coming down to. Anybody deal with that already? You know? Sorry, Lord, you know? I feel like Peter, too, you know? I feel like Peter, you know what I mean? Here's God. I'm walking on water, and then I started looking at all the circumstances of the world, yeah? The wind and the waves, and it started sinking, and God saved us anyways. How are we doing? You know, God, I think he chooses, but that's who he is. He is faithful. Amen? He is love, and he remained faithful, even though through everybody's unfaithfulness, he remained faithful. And love all those songs. I was just like, oh, man, I'm just getting. How are you doing, guys? You know, this is where, you know, you guys understand that this is where all this stuff that I'm sharing was nurtured here in Living Way Church from me and my wife and my kids. You guys understand? And, you know, next year is 20 years. How's that, huh? It's hard to believe until I see Matthew and Sandra with all your kids. I remember the other day my wife complained. I go, this is how messed up I am. I go, I was just kind of so excited to be back, and all of a sudden this guy gets out of his car, and we were by Popeyes or something. I go, honey, look. I go, look, it's Joe Del Prado. It's Joe Del Prado, honey, look. And he goes, God looks at me and she goes, you know, Joe's like in his 30s, you know. I go, he is? I go, yes, he's in his 30s. I go, oh, well, that's what he used to look like when he was 14. I was just shaking her head. Joe Del Prado, he looked just like Joe Del Prado when he was 15. And he goes, he's in his 30s. I go, oh, that's not it. Oh, my goodness. Church, I think God wants to prove in this place right here, in every one of your life, he wants to prove something, amen, that he's still on the throne, that even though, amen, the world, how many know, this is what I learned it here, guys, the whole battle, the spiritual battle is who's going to get the attention. How are we doing? The devil said to Jesus, I'll give you all this if you bow down and worship me. How are we doing? I'm not going to give the world attention anymore, man. I want to give my attention to God, God alone, to Jesus Christ. Amen? Who's with me? You know? Come on, we got a big, this is big work, man. It's big work. We can do it. It's big work. It's not sitting at home doing nothing, man. You guys understand? For real, man. We're open every single day. You understand? Every single day we're open. At 5:30 in the morning to like 10 at night. Every day. I have meetings. I do teachings every day and every night. And we have to. If there's 5 people or 50 people, I'm going to teach them. You guys, look at this. You guys are pregnant with all these teachers. Let's go. It's not going to be easy. You can't stay the way you are. You have to move and get a big vision. Young people, man, you guys are going to tear it up. You guys, all that stuff, you know, on the media stuff, that's crazy. I have to still, I'm learning little by little. If it wasn't for COVID, I would never be online. The last time I was here, what, 2-3 years ago, I was saying I was going to go to New Zealand. We got 1,000, I have access to thousands of people now in New Zealand. Not only did we go there, but Maoris were coming and staying at our church. We have such a great relationship, and things are growing, even during COVID. And me and my wife, we can't wait, man, to go back. As soon as that we get the green light to go to New Zealand and to go to all these other places, Tonga, Samoa, all kinds of places are opening up to us for a reason. And I'm clear. I know my calling. I know what God is using us for. Amen? And it's to bring healing. Amen? But I'm just like every one of you. Come on, someone say, set free. Favor. Forgiveness. Safe. Secure. I'm okay now. I was in prison. But I'm okay now. This is what's happening here. I'm so excited too. A lot of you guys are going to get calls. Thank you for receiving my calls, Val and Walt. I'm on 2 Samuel now. We're teaching every Monday nights. We got a whole big gang coming out for Old Testament survey. This is what we do. Just keep teaching. I hope this is okay, Daniel. You know, but man, but it's time. Amen. Who's got a word today? I'm going to have Daniel come up.